So yeah, this evening I'm going to talk about God has a plan for you. Well, you know, that all seems quite reasonable. Yeah, he really does. In fact, he's got lots and lots of plans for you. Because actually, you know, we can think about just the big things in life, you know, that God would have a plan for us. But actually, it's everything. You know, nothing is exempt from God having a plan. And I'll touch on that a wee bit later. But however, when I consider his plans, sometimes I'm not quite sure what I should think about it. Should I be a little bit worried? Should I be concerned? Are his plans good? Or are they scary? Well, maybe scary is good. But sometimes you're not quite sure. Well, actually, I hear about people who are worried about what God might have planned for them. Well, he might plan something really horrible, you know? What if he wants me to do something I really, really don't want to do? Something that I've got absolutely no skills for? What if his plans for me just make me miserable and grumpy? Let's see. Bit like that? Oh no, I can see this is going to be a problem. Karen can now see what's up there. She's going to giggle every time the chair. Okay, so we'll just ignore Karen every time she giggles. The thing is that we come up with a way of making sure that what's up there lands up on her. On her little screen, so she can't see what's up there. So just too much giggling, somebody just go and nick it off her. Anyway, back to the talk. We can feel maybe that God wants us to do something that'll just be a massively heavy burden to us, or to be someone we just feel we can't be. What has God got planned for us? And maybe the question could also be, is have we fulfilled some of God's plans for us already? First, I'd like to talk a little bit about the character of God. If he has plans for us, can we trust him for it to be something good? Well, let's look, first of all, at Psalm 36. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountain, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. David felt that he could trust God and saw him in really very intimate terms. To be hidden in the shadow of God's wings must be a very special place to dwell. When birds hide their young under their wings, it's to nurture them, protect them, and to give them a chance to grow in the soft warmth of that place. So David, despite all the trials and the sin in his life, trusted God to plan his life effectively. So what does the New Testament have to say? Well, I'll quote a really well-known verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's everybody. Nobody's exempt. We can all have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You know, it's so easy for us to you know, start thinking, well, you know, I'm a bit useless. I'm not very good. But actually, that's not what Jesus came to show you. He came to give you eternal life. So why am I quoting these well-known verses? Well, you might say, you know, I know God loves me. That's I'm totally cool with that. But then, of course, you then think about God's plan for you for the next month, the next year, the next decade, or maybe the next 10 minutes. Are you like quite a lot of Christians who worry about God's plans for them and think that God's plan might just not be quite what they need in their lives. Perhaps you think, maybe this is what he's got planned for you. Actually, I suspect that most of us have felt like this at one time or another. That actually, you know, we're not quite sure that we want to follow God's plans. So let's just look at Romans 8, verses 26 to 30. Five verses, full of good meaning to us. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. That sounds good to me. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. Verse 28, I think, is the one we all probably know. Well, probably many of us do. Certainly one, if you don't know it, it's well worth committing to memory because it's a lovely verse. It says, and we know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. That's terrific, isn't it? God is working for our good. But you know, sometimes we can try and almost twist this verse. And we start looking at it and feeling a little bit suspicious. Okay, ultimately, God's working for our good, but right now I'm in the middle of a very bad time, and it's very difficult for me to see that that really is the case. You know, if you're going through a really hard time at the moment, it's easy to feel like that. But actually, if you go through it verse by verse, you'll see that's not what this says. It says in verse 26, if I just go back, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. It says when we don't know how to pray, God's Holy Spirit does. It says in 27 that he knows our hearts and intercedes for us. Says in 28 that he works for our good, that God knows us. He knows us. He's known us since before time began. I think that's just incredible because God just has got this amazing knowledge of all things. And then it tells us he justifies us. That means if you look at it the simple way, which I like, it's just as though we never did it. Justifies us, he forgives us for our sin. And then it says, he glorifies us. I'm not quite sure if I can quite get my head around me being glorified by God, you know, but seemingly that is the case. It's just incredible. But it's not just here that we read about this. We often think that the Old Testament is a bit less merciful and loving than the New, partly because those who lived there didn't know about the Lord Jesus and how he would go to the cross. They didn't have that same revelation that we enjoy, although there are amazing exceptions like King David. But let's have a look at a reading from Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29, 10 to 14, which is at the time where it was being prophesied that although the Jews were going to be carted off to Babylon, they would return in the future. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek, you will seek me and find me when you seek with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. This is a verse that I think speaks to us when we're in the worst of places, when we feel far from God, when we feel like things have just gone seriously wrong. It says, for I have plans for you, to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. It's easy for us to feel just completely like God has forgotten about us and let us go. And I'm sure that at times that's what the Jews felt when they were exiled. But here he's telling them that despite this disaster, he has plans. And it's true for each one of us here tonight. He never gives up on us. Never, ever. God is not a God who gives up on us. It's good to understand the context of this so that we get a good balance in our minds. This verse is saying that even when we're in the middle of trouble, God is still on our side and he wants to bring us hope, hope in a future. It's that wonderful, certain hope that his plans are there to prosper us. Now, prosper is a word where we think about maybe wealth, riches. And of course, some Christians are called to have wealth. But this is a different sort of prosperity mostly. This is a prosperity within our souls, to live lives that are full and touched by God. The promise is that we'll have full and wholesome lives. You see, the thing is, God's plans for us include the big things in life and the small things. Sometimes I think we get too caught up on thinking of the large things, the massive decisions. And when I look back in my life, I see that God was at work in all sorts of different situations. Every aspect of my life, he was at work. And that is because God wants to be in a relationship with us. We've been talking about that. Simon talked about it last week, about this desire that God has to be in relationship with us. So it's his plans are like to walk side by side with us, to walk with us through our lives, to be part of every aspect. And sometimes we find we're walking in his plans just by doing the everyday thing. It doesn't have to be extra special. It doesn't have to be a great revelation. In fact, it seldom is, in my experience. It's just going the way God has set for us to go. But it's making the right choices. The big decisions in life, of course, for the young are things like, what should I do with my life? What job should I have? What exam should I take? Who should I marry? Lots of us have made all those decisions already. But, of course, those aren't the only decisions. But the Lord wants to be part of everyone. So, most of you have heard the story about me, who is an architect, wondering if God was calling me to be a minister. And the answer was, handily, no. Some of you will have heard the story about she hides. me meeting my lovely wife. And how the lovely guys that had brought me on in my Christian life in Edinburgh, they had this friend who was a new minister in a church in Aberdeen, and I was going to go to Aberdeen. And they said to me, before you try at any of the student churches, go along and see him. It'll be a real encouragement to him, and I think he'll really like Ken. So I did. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Yeah, that was her church. I didn't do anything special apart from follow what these lovely guys had told me. I didn't do anything special at all. In fact, I did some unspecial things as well, but you're probably better to get Jenny's side of the story for that. And but he was just, God was just making sure that even though I had decided that, you know, I was just useless with girls, as soon as I was standing in front of one of my sister's friends, the words that came out of my mouth didn't seem to be in the right order at all. And I just, you know what? I think I'll just train to be an architect, and maybe, you know, once I've grown up and I'm about 30, maybe I'll meet the right person. But the Lord had other ideas for me in that particular case. And of course, we're all different. We've all got, he's got different plans for each one of us. And that is very good. The thing is, we're trying to go God's way and to fit in with his plans. Sometimes we get to a decision point, which is the dot. And we think, I don't know, which is the right way for me to go? And we're not quite sure, so we just keep going the way we're going. And that may be fine. That may be exactly what's supposed to happen. We might say, you're joking. I'm not going to do that. I'm not that sort of person. I'm going to go this way instead. Or we might say, yay, let's go God's way. Because we've got a clue. We've got an idea. And that's how it is. We can make choices, can't we? The thing I want to just remind us all is actually, you know what? It was never just one choice, because that's the mercy of God. You know, we get to make those choices all over again at each stage of our life. We can reach new decision points and make better decisions or worse ones. Let's try to stick with the better ones. And so it goes on. And God is always directing us. And if you feel that maybe at some stage in the recent past, you've actually made a decision that really wasn't a good one, there is always time. I'll read what it says. There is still time. Today would be a good day. If you've made a rubbish decision and you're aware of that, you know, today would be a good day to sort that out. Today is always a good day with God. But he's always going to give us a chance. So where does this lead us? God has a plan. He has lots of plans for our lives. He's known us from the very beginning of time. So his plan is the best plan. But even if you've messed up, he still has the best plan. It's another best plan. And I think that's, in a way, what the Jeremiah situation says. You know, the children of Israel had made some pretty rubbish decisions, and now they were about to go into captivity. That was seriously bad, but God still had a plan to bring the remnant home. The Romans passage, reminds us that we know that in all things, God works together, works for the good of those who love him. It's a lovely, lovely verse, well worth committing to our memories. And as you can probably tell, I commit it to my memory from a different version because I just tried to half quote it. We don't have to be afraid. You know, even if he does ask us to do something a bit out there, like stand up here and preach, it's his job to give us the ability to do that. That's his task. Our task is to take the risk, to go on and do it. It's his job to give us the gifts. And I think you find that he does. And that's quite exciting, because sometimes by taking the risk, we can find that we have moved on in our lives in some unaccountable way. If you feel that you don't seem to be hearing very much from God, and that, you know, I can't really see that there are any plans, any changes in my life that are required of him, you know what? The reason for that may be that actually you're heading along the right path anyway at the moment, and lots of us will be in that position. Maybe it's the little things you need to sort out. Who are you going to invite for lunch next Sunday? Little things like that to do with our current morning service theme. The little things are maybe the areas where we need to just see us make the changes. Maybe it's not the big things. Because often we are heading along the path that God has chosen for us. And that's a great joy to us. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. But, you know, tonight's a good place to just stop and think. Spend a little time in prayer. Spend a bit of time in prayer and discussion with a mature Christian friend. Just seeing if there's things in your life that need a little bit of reorganization. Asking God to reveal that to you, your friend, or both of you. That might be a really good way of seeing if there's new direction required in your life. Or maybe tonight, spend a little bit of time with the ministry team. Spend time with people in prayer. Just asking God if there's a way that you're supposed to be going. Today is always a good day to check out with God and see what he's got planned for your life. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we just thank you for the way that you reach out to us. Your love for us is so personal. It's so particular to us. We just can't understand how you love us. It's beyond us, Lord. But we thank you that you do. We thank you that you have known us and you continue to know us and that you nurture us and draw us forwards in our lives. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Spirit of the living God. Dwell in us and reveal your purposes to us. Whether they're to stay on the same path, whether they're to make little changes or large. Come, Lord Jesus, and show us, we pray, the things that need to be done. And Lord, for those of us who know deep inside the things that need to be changed, we pray that you'd come in the power of your Spirit to enable us to have the strength to make those changes so that we can be your people living in your way and as a witness to those around us. We pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I think the band are going to return and I will let them do that. May God bless you all. And I do ask you to commit that Romans verse to memory. I don't know many verses of the Bible off by heart. And now to have just confused myself by memorizing too, I'm not going to try and quote it again. But it's one of the few that I have memorized, and I've found it a great blessing to me. So I suggest that you make that one, if you only memorize a few, that Romans verse is well worth it.